You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Welcome back, Matt Medica. Oh, turn your microphone on, man. Have some class.
That was my fault.
Greg Sussman in the house.
That was my fault. I was in charge of Matt's mic, so I messed up. It's not showing him.
May I? And our good friend Jake Saley. What's up, Jakey? Jakey, how are you? Jakey's not there.
Oh, that's what you get.
Let's just assume he's good. He's great. Jake Seeley's well. Matt, on today's show, I wanted to kick it off with Matty Mo at the park. See how your day at Citi Field was yesterday in the cold.
Unfortunately, I wasn't at Citi Field.
Oh, you just went to the bar?
I told you he wasn't.
I thought you were just joking. Like, no, he's probably at a bar.
No.
I was entirely serious.
He's just watching the Met camp.
All right, we're going to kick it off.
I would have liked to have been at Citi Field.
I told you this.
All right, fine. We'll kick it off with Matty Mo at the bar. We got a deep dive in Preston Tucker I want to talk about because he's in a very interesting situation where he's tearing the cover off the ball but is likely to be replaced when Acuna gets called up. We got some game updates, some lineups, a very unfortunate disabled list stint. We're going to go over my ESPN draft from last night because I think I did a tremendous job until right in the middle where I kind of messed up.
Did you get bored? Is that what it was?
I don't get bored. It was just like it's a stupid OBP league, slugging, it's head-to-head. There are categories I'm not used to playing with. It's more like I forced myself to go with a strategy instead of getting the players that I like. Virginia Zakas from Inside Injuries is going to join us in the second segment. We got a long list of players. Greg and I argued in an Uber yesterday about who we should put on the list.
So I wanted to put players like Jacoby Ellsbury and Aaron Hicks. And Nando's like, we need Brandon Finnegan. And I'm just like,
look, I think Amir Garrett's getting in that rotation sooner than later. So I wouldn't be worrying about Brandon Finnegan.
I just want Brandon. I think Brandon Finnegan's a very intriguing head. You know, double shoulder surgeries, right? He's a flamethrower, a lot of strikeouts.
But that's why you should just be staying away. And if after a few starts, when he finally does,
it'll be too late. Can't play scared.
I'll miss that boat.
I believe.
Same.
Yeah, you will. Jake Seeley, what's happening, man?
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm fine.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Great to hear from you as always. All right. Matty Mo at the bar. Watching the Mets game yesterday. Give us some takeaways.
Actually, I didn't get to watch it till later on, but that Facebook experience, not so good for me. I wasn't down with it. You know, after I finally hacked my wife's Facebook account and
sure.
got in and all that good stuff, maybe it was the John Kruk and who's the guy? That Braun
That's Cliff
character.
Floyd. So Cliff Floyd.
Cliff Floyd. I love hearing him talk about baseball. I don't want to hear Cliff Floyd talk about fantasy. But Cliff Floyd talking about baseball is always fun. He's also one of the sharpest dressed baseball announcers or studio guys.
It's always nice to be sharply dressed.
Of course.
Right? When I used to go, I had to go to locker rooms. I remember looking around. I'm like, dude, you guys are in a locker. Like, locker rooms, like, you watch those movies, like, you know, with Robert Duvall on the typewriter. You're like, I'm wearing my suit. And these dudes are in, like, jeans and untucked, like, polo shirts with a collar kind of...
Are you calling out the king?
It's not the king. No, actually, I've seen Scott get dressed up for locker rooms. He doesn't do the schlubby thing. He actually gets a little dressed up. Interesting stuff out of the Mets game today. Jakey, two things. Michael Conforto is back, and they immediately put him in the leadoff spot against Steven Strasburg. Secondly, the Nationals are doing the weird thing where they're batting the pitcher eighth. But they put Michael Taylor in ninth. It's not the catcher. Michael Taylor's got three stolen bases.
But that's why he should be betting ninth.
But, I mean, he's ahead of Eaton. He's ahead of Harper. I mean, he's going to steal anymore?
Are you saying he's better than these people?
Usually, you see the catcher. It's like, oh, I'll just throw the catcher. And the backup catcher in ninth.
No, see, I like him at ninth. I'd much rather have him at ninth.
Yep.
The catcher and the pitcher. So now he's free to run.
Exactly.
He doesn't have a Miguel Montero in front of him.
Oh, 100%.
Roadblock
him. You want him there so Adam Eaton and Anthony Rendon and Bryce Harper can drive him in. This is great. This is great news for Michael Taylor.
I had prompted this for Jake.
Yeah. That's cool.
Jake, are you cool with this too? Are you on the bandwagon?
No, they're right. That's just why you see Billy Hamilton bat ninth. You see, it's why you see Amed Rosario bat ninth. This is, you want the guy that's technically two leadoff hitters back to back. That's why you see it. The Conforto thing, if he's ready, he's ready. But the problem is I have no faith in the Mets saying that anybody's ready for anything.
Here's something weird about this. This is like the only game with a good pitching matchup all day long is the DeGrom Strasburg. I just want to, we'll come back and hit these. But listen to these pitching matchups for today. Let me know. Stop me if you think you hear something good, Jake. Maddie, anyone. Miami at Philadelphia, Caleb Smith versus Nick Pivetta. Then we got Chirinos at Price, Martin Perez versus Mangdon, Tyler Anderson versus Joey Lucchese, Jordan Zimmerman versus James Shields, James Paxton, Paxton Gibson maybe, Kashner Tanaka, whatever, Bailey Brault, Robbie Ray, Adam Wainwright, you don't know what you're going to get from Wainwright, and John Lester versus Brent Suter. Not Does any of those get you?
Chirinos. Chirinos Price.
You know, everyone's sweating Yanni Chirinos, and I look at his numbers in the minors, and I'm like, no, man, it's, you know, it's... I don't know if I can get behind that.
I don't know if I see the numbers in the minors, but everybody keeps, I mean, former pitchers are talking about him. Jake Ferriero's talking about him, so I don't know. I'm intrigued, at least put it that way.
Can we rewind a second back to the Michael Conforto comment?
Of course.
I'm excited that he's back. Hopefully, look, I don't know how, shoulder must be well, whatever. But the ideal lineup would have been Nimmo leading off, move Jay Bruce to first base. Doesn't seem like the Mets are going to go that route. They're going to use him as a fourth outfield and a bench player. Hopefully Mickey wises up.
You and Salfino and Vaccaro.
But it's the truth.
I've talked about Brandon Nimmo more than any three people I've ever met in my entire life.
He's had 11 or 12 plate appearances.
I'm not saying it's wrong. It's
half the time. I mean, Adrian Gonzalez at this point, he could be the bench player.
This is every Met fan. It's just not what Deacon Vaccaro. It's every Met fan.
I guess that's mine.
Every single one of them.
Listen, he's an
on-base percentage machine.
Hold on. Jake's a Met fan. Jake, do you agree with this analysis?
Yeah, his on-base percentage machine is what I was just saying. It's the fact that if you want to talk about somebody who's... like, the Mets don't have a true leadoff hitter. They don't. The Conforto's not a true leadoff hitter. He shouldn't be batting first. The fact is, if you want somebody who's getting on base all the time, that's the thing with Brandon Nimmo. Is they talk about from a small school, where there's no upper level and all that type of stuff, and the best thing that you could hope for is maybe he gets the 20 home runs, but he gets on base. It was always, but he gets on base. He gets on base. He gets on base. What do you want at the top of your lineup? You want somebody who's getting on base.
Oh, it's so boring.
And what
man.
If you had like on Nimmo, Cespedes, then Conforto? Like Conforto's now.
I'm not talking about for fantasy
to drive.
I know. I'm talking about for real life.
I know, Jake.
And should see fastballs if he's got Cespedes ahead of him. He's on base. The other guy's on base. You got to pitch to him.
Hey, I get it. I'm just that's why I brought it up. I thought it was interesting that Conforto's back and just like, hey, you're hitting leadoff, buddy. Good luck.
I do like that. Supposedly he said he wanted Strasburg. Obviously he was dying to get in and all that, but. He could have been.
Like he's a wrestler?
I could start tomorrow.
I want Strasburg.
That was awesome.
Did he do that?
Yes, basically.
Oh, but he didn't actually get in front of the camera and be like, bring me Strasburg.
No, he didn't do that. It's WrestleMania week.
Oh, I feel a little sauce mania bubbling up.
It's WrestleMania week.
Yeah, maybe so. One of these days.
Maybe, never know.
Speaking of on base percentage, Philly's lineup, we had a look at that earlier. Odubel Herrera is batting fifth.
More importantly, Scott Kingery's batting third.
Well, that's Kingery in right field and batting third against Caleb Smith.
Former Yankee Gray, as Frank Snapple likes to say.
Former Yankee Gray.
He pitched well on Caleb Smith. First start, right?
Versus right, yeah.
Cubs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a Marlins team that's going to be playing without the great Garrett Cooper, who has gone on the DL after getting hit on a pitch, getting hit by a pitch on the wrist. Jake, king of all rankings. Where's Scott Kingery?
I don't even care at this point. This is the only thing this is telling me, that Gabe Kapler is going to make everybody infuriated the entire season at this point. If everybody stays healthy and things don't clear up, this is just going to be an annoyance. Every single day now it's Altair sitting after it looked like Altair was the secure one because he was facing lefty and righties. And then Nick Williams is in the lineup. Melkel Franco is not hitting, but he's still in the lineup. And now it's Kingery in the outfield. And Odubel, it's just Gabe Kapler is going to annoy the living hell out of us.
I don't think it's fair to say that you don't care, though, because Scott Kingery, obviously a vaulted prospect.
I said I don't care where to rank him.
But people know. People know. People want to know where you have him, though. You can't just say you
don't care. I'm not trying to project his playing time at this point, knowing what Gabe Kapler is doing from day to day.
I understand the frustration.
It's tough to project the thing.
But that's part
we need to know.
But that's part of what goes into it.
I need to know.
I'm not going to pretend I know. Nobody does.
Here's the thing, though, with Kapler. I believe this. I tweeted it out about the pitching side, and it'll work its way out on the hitting side as well. Self-preservation will force him to do and have. Look, you're going to have certain matchups and, first a tough lefty. Franco, to me, is the guy in most danger right now. But self-preservation will have him pitching Aaron Nola more deeper into games. Nola was better in the fifth inning than he was in the first or the second inning yesterday. If you saw what he did to Cespedes after giving up that moonshot in the first, I mean, you saw it. You got to let these guys pitch. He can't be using eight relievers every game, neither. So
I love Gabe Kapler, the villain, because it's fun just to hate on this guy.
Definitely.
Who But I do, like, I went through yesterday before the show, and I'm looking at, because it was the firsts came back around. The SP1s came back around. And you go through all the guys, I'm like, well, this guy threw 5 2/3. This guy threw 5 2/3. This guy threw 5 2/3. Why is everyone jumping on Kapler for maybe, you know, Nola coming off spring training? You don't want him throwing 95 pitches when he's still building his arm up off the spring training.
68 pitches is a lot different than 80 pitches.
Yeah, 68 pitches.
I'm just being devil's advocate here.
And I'll say I'll say this. John Heyman led off his weekly article over at FanRag Sports. Read off his weekly article about Gabe Kapler and the fact that today is opening day in Philadelphia for the Phillies. The first time Philly fans have a chance to cheer or boo Gabe Kapler. One player said this, "We'll be okay, ... We just need the manager to get out of the way."
That's awesome. That's pretty savage.
Jakey, how do you feel about that? And he's a former player, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like this nerd
former
who just
model.
Showed up.
He was on the cover of Italian Vogue, Gabe Kapler.
Why wasn't Israeli Vogue? Because he's a Jew.
I don't know.
Well, maybe he's half Italian, Greg.
I don't think he is.
Oh, he could. I don't know. Jake, do you have a? Do you know anything about his lineage?
No.
How, Jake, so all right. So let's take what you said before when you refused to rank Scott Kingery. Let's take that entire team as a whole. Who are you okay with?
No Italian, like, in him, by the way.
Who who knows? Maybe the Italians just like him. Maybe he's just they like, hey, look at that good looking Jewish
maybe he
man.
Married him. Maybe so. He married an Italian.
Jake, I lost my train of thought. Who do you feel safe ranking? Like, Carlos Santana seems like he's safe to rank. All the pitchers.
There's only two people, Santana and Hoskins. The rest are just screw it.
Not Cesar Hernandez?
No. All these guys are dicey. Cesar Hernandez, as soon as he stops hitting, they could shift Crawford around, and then all of a sudden they're moving things around, and Kingery's playing there. Kingery's playing third, nobody's safe. The only two people that are safe are Santana and Hoskins.
Well, the person that screwed this whole team up too is Carlos Santana. Like, giving him the $60 million, I don't think it was needed. Hoskins would have been better at first. You took away really athletic outfielders there, and Williams and Altair. Yeah. And look,
I don't even think Alfaro's safe because Alfaro can't hit.
Well, yeah, Andrew Knapp is better than people think, too.
He's good.
As a minor league catcher and all that stuff. Alfaro does have a gun, though. I will say that. I mean, he's got a gun, and when he does make contact, he can drive the ball.
But what does that mean to Gabe Kapler, right? Like, it seems like if it's not statistically measured with the velocity coming out of his arm.
I'm showing back something that he will chuckle at in a moment.
I hope it's nothing that children in the restaurant can't see.
That was one of the greatest stuff.
Greg Sussman pointing his computer screen directly out to where all these kids are sitting.
His Wikipedia page.
Oh,
all
right, cool.
That was a line in the Wikipedia page that Matt Bodega, I thought, would chuckle at, yes. as I did while looking up Gabe Kapler facts.
Okay.
Should I read it out loud?
I don't know. Is it safe?
So it's Wikipedia.
All right, go ahead.
In a clubhouse poll, it was once revealed that 25 players on the Red Sox, of the 25 players in the Red Sox, 24 of them were Republicans. The only one that wasn't was Gabe Kapler. So I showed that.
It shows Gabe Kapler has no idea what he's doing.
And that's why I passed it on to Matt Modica for that comment right there.
Okay, moving along, because we got Virginia Zagas from Inside Injuries joining us in about 5 minutes. We got to hit a break right before that. Jakey, we talked a little Marcus Thames yesterday. Everyone was down on it except
Eric
for me.
Thames.
What?
Eric Thames?
Oh, what did I say? Marcus? Yeah, I meant Eric. Yeah. My bad.
Well,
so that's why I
didn't DraftKings save everybody from themselves yesterday? Because all I saw on Twitter was, oh my God, I can't get Thames in, and I'm going to sue DraftKings. And
this still should have been
Carlos Martinez.
Really? I didn't see it. I kind of have terms muted, and I stopped following people because I just can't anymore. But Christian Yelich hurt. Is this the door opening a little bit, JK?
No, it obviously would open up the situation, and probably you don't need Ryan Braun playing first because he's going to stay in the outfield if they don't have Yelich out there. But we'll just have to see how long-term this is. There's reports saying that, I mean, Yelich could be back by the weekend, so we'll have to see.
Adam Eaton leads off the game with a double, by the way.
Oh, nice.
A little update for you.
Do we got anything else going on there, Greggy?
That's it.
I got a Daily Roto alert.
Okay.
No one told me to stop reading the Daily Roto alerts on air. So if you like these, go sign up for DailyRoto.com. It is the Padres-Tigers lineup. Nope. Padres-Tigers, White Sox, and Twins lineups are all in.
You want to read something to you?
Yeah, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, let's do it.
No, go ahead.
Which one do you want first?
Let's do, I don't know. I'd say Padres-Tigers, White Sox, Twins.
Padres-Tigers.
No, but go ahead. Do White Sox.
All right. For the White Sox, Yoan Moncada leads off. God bless you. A little bit different, Jake. I know we kept saying, oh, it's the same lineup as always. But no, it's not. Moncada's leading off. Avisaíl Garcia is second. Jose Abreu third. Matt Davidson fourth. Yomer Sanchez is batting fifth.
Oh, Davidson's DHing. Abreu's playing first. Right.
Yomer Sanchez is playing third today rather than second, where he normally, or actually, Yomer Sanchez has been playing third this year.
Davidson played first yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Lurie Garcia? It's not Lurie. Is that Lurie, right?
I think it's Lurie.
No, it's not Lurie.
Jake?
We learned that last year, that it's not Lurie.
I only learned that it's Avisail.
Avisail, I knew that.
I remember because the two of them were mashing last year, and I learned that it wasn't just Lurie. It was annoying.
Tim Anderson is destroying the ball, and you're batting him seventh.
Okay, but
it's Leori.
It's Leori.
Yeah, it's three syllables.
See?
Leori.
I knew
like
it.
Cousin Leori.
Greg,
we didn't say it's always the same. I was saying that you couldn't name it.
I did, though. I got there. Outside Nicky Delmonico.
Tim Anderson, the last count.
Who's not in the lineup.
Who's not in the lineup today. Because Leori Garcia is playing left field instead. He's batting sixth. Tim Anderson, as you said, batting seventh. Omar Navarez is batting eighth. He's the catcher. And Adam Engel batting ninth.
Who are they facing?
What's it with the Garcias of his team wanting the extra syllable in their name?
I don't know, man. Who's facing?
Martin Perez? No. Who's pitching?
Jordan Zimmermann.
Oh, Jordan Zimmermann.
It's Zimmermann's versus Shields.
That's going to be a good one.
Standard lineup for the Tigers, by the way.
2011. Yeah.
Leonis Martin leading off. Jaime Candelario second. Miguel Cabrera. Nick Castellanos. Victor Martinez. James McCann, the catcher. Mikey Maddox, seventh. Jose Iglesias, eighth. And, of course, Dixon Machado batting last.
By the way, it's not Jaimer, by the way.
Not Jaimer?
It's Jamer.
Really?
Come on. I think he's messing with us at this point.
I'm serious. It's Jamer. It's J, like at the hard enunciation on the J. It's J-A-Y. Jamer.
We've been saying Jaimer Candelario since...
Years.
Yeah.
We've been saying it wrong.
Since he was 12.
Years.
Since he used to call in. He said this is Jaimer from Detroit.
It is Jamer.
Wow.
Holy crap.
All right.
Bad job by you.
Mind blown.
Jake Checker. The Beast.
I'll be back in 20 minutes.
We'll Chamber. Be right back. We'll be right back. Virginia Zakas and the injury update after this.
Nationals up 1-0.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
It's Carton and Friends.
Tony Finau hit a hole in one, and while he was celebrating, dislocated his ankle. Down. You can pull a Nancy Kerrigan and go, "Oh no! Oh help!" Or you can do what Tony Finau did. He went all Mel Gibson, yeah. Lethal Weapon 2. Dude, dislocated his ankle,
and then right after walked off. So
goes down to and goes, puts it back in, and walks off. That's a man right there.
Weekdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. FST Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Fantasy Sports Network, YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, Twitter, you name it, we're live on it. So get excited. Matt Medica, Greg Sussman, Jake Seeley, I'm Nando DeFino, and we are joined by Virginia Zakas. Jake's dropping. He's going to let us handle this.
Cool.
Virginia Zakas from Inside Injuries. Check out the app, Inside Injuries. Go check it out at insideinjuries.com. It's excellent, or else we wouldn't have them on air. So, Virginia, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey guys, thanks. How's it going?
It's going very well. And now that Corey isn't here to bother you, I'm very, very excited to talk injuries with you for once.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
See, I knew she'd be pumped.
I like to get the scrubs on.
I knew she'd be pumped about this fact.
So we sent Virginia the list yesterday, the players we want to talk about. Someone got hurt last night. Will Myers, we bumped him up. But just for a little background, Greg and I put this list together. So if it's up and down and there's some weird players mixed in, like we had arguments.
Like Shelby Miller.
We had I think Shelby Miller's important.
I have a question, though. How did Clint Frazier make it and not the other guy, Jacoby Ellsbury?
He wasn't allowed to. Right, he was on the list. He got crossed off for Brandon Finnegan.
I'm sorry. Let's
please. That's exactly what happened.
Enough about how the list happened. We have a guest. Gentlemen, we have a guest. Virginia, saw Will Myers. I did a draft last night. Will Myers was suddenly on the disabled list. Like, it happened during the draft. Can we get into like what to expect from this? Anytime we see nerve issues, it doesn't seem as clean cut as like, you know, a forearm stiffness or anything like that. It's a little out there. Can you help walk us through it?
Yeah. So he's saying he has nerve irritation in his right arm. He's described it as the nerve being out of place. He felt like a lightning bolt was going through his arm. None of this is good, obviously. Anytime you're dealing with a nerve issue, there's probably going to be recurring problems. So if he rests now and takes, 10 to 14 days off, it'll probably improve in the short term. But long term, it's not going to be surprising if he continues to have issues with his right arm. Don't be surprised if eventually he ends up having surgery on it, too, especially if this issue is with the ulnar nerve, which is in the elbow. That would be very concerning. Not looking great. Should be able to return in a couple weeks, but definitely looking at some long term issues here as well.
I have a quick follow up. When you say the ulnar nerve, a lot of us know that from the UCL, which leads to Tommy John surgery. How related to this is that the surgery wouldn't be Tommy John, right? It would be something on the nerve or?
Yeah, correct. It'd be something to address the nerve. Usually recovery time, I believe, is around 3 to 4 months following that surgery. Also not as serious because he's not a pitcher. But they can like reposition the nerve. There's different things they can do. Next time Anand is on, you'll have to ask him for the details. But different from Tommy John surgery, not a ligament issue, just with the nerve, as far as we've heard right now.
That's so terrible news for Will Myers.
That's good.
Yeah, that's the only word.
Yeah, pretty damning news, if you will, for Will Myers there from Virginia Zach is inside injuries. Hopefully the news will be a little bit better for another guy that just went on the DL, and that was Jake Lamb. We saw him hurt himself diving, hurt himself sliding, and now he goes on the DL with a shoulder injury. We're hoping it's not that serious, but how worried should we be, Virginia?
Not too serious. He dropped to an elevated injury risk, but he's not high risk. We're showing he needs 1 to 2 weeks to recover, especially because it's his left shoulder. It's an AC sprain, which can be painful for a few weeks, but doesn't really come with much long-term concern. There doesn't seem to be any damage to the rotator cuff or the labrum or anything more serious like that. So I think once he's activated from the DL, he should be good to go.
By the way, I can't see the TV in the studio. Yes. Is kind of tilted. I can't say if that's an awesome T-shirt or awesome scrubs.
Scrubs.
Those are scrubs?
Scrubs.
That's awesome. The inside injury scrubs.
Yeah.
Yep.
We want some.
I think Corey asked her. Corey asked her for this already.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe we get some small ones to dress up the skeleton.
That'd be cool.
Can we talk about the often injured Aaron Hicks, but supposedly might be back beginning of next week?
No, they didn't want him on the list either.
Yeah. So right now he's dealing with a strained right intercostal muscle. I don't know if you remember last year, he had a right oblique strain and a left oblique strain. All of these core injuries are a sign of, more serious issues. Even if he comes back from this one within, a week or two, it won't be surprising if he continues to have issues. There's probably something in his swing, the broad swing that he has that or the power he tries to hit with that's leading to these muscle strains. So even though this one is pretty mild, he unfortunately has a long history of these injuries, and it would not be surprising if he continues to have them the rest of the season.
I'm just going to skip the line and bring my guy up because I want to know.
You can go anywhere you want.
If it's cool, Virginia, Brandon Finnegan to me is one of the more intriguing. I mean, he had a couple shoulder issues on opposite shoulders, came out and said, "I'm feeling great. This is the best I felt." And then got sidetracked in spring training. And I basically have him on every team. I think he's a fireballer. I think he can strike out a lot of people. I think he fits nicely in that rotation. What can you tell us about when I can expect Brandon Finnegan back?
So So he was hurt March 11th, and our analytics are showing about a 5-week optimal recovery time. So within the next week or two, it's realistic to see him back and playing pretty well. Right now, we still have him as a high injury risk, so it wouldn't, especially because he had that shoulder surgery to repair the torn labrum. Now he has this bicep strain. But his health performance factor is above average, which tells me that he should be healthy enough to go out right now and pitch pretty well. But again, 5 weeks, so around mid to late April, we think he should be good to go.
Virginia, can I just ask, like, when you talk about a bicep strain, and I've had this problem with a forearm before. Like, I think my forearm's, you know, closer to my wrist and my elbow, but really in terms of medicine, I guess, and injury, it's kind of closer. It's like the precursor to Tommy John when you have the elbow strain. When I think biceps, I think, you know, like I make a muscle and there's my bicep. Is it really that, like just that? Or is there, you know, more connected to the shoulder area when we talk about biceps or maybe even down by the elbow? It's not just like where I make my muscle, that's my bicep and it hurts, right?
Yeah, a lot of the time it's more closely tied to a shoulder injury, especially if it's the biceps tendon because that goes and attaches in the shoulder. I haven't been able to find exactly where his bicep strain is located, but most of the time, especially with a pitcher, it's closer to the shoulder.
All right, there you go.
Thank you. I'm good with Brandon Finnegan. You guys can do the rest of this.
Thank you. Virginia Zakis, Inside Injuries. We continue on here, Virginia. And for me, I was real pumped about Delino DeShields being able to just steal base after base for me this season. That lasted 0 days as Delino DeShields immediately went on the disabled list where, like, he's going to be out for quite a while. How soon can fantasy owners expect Delino DeShields to return to the lineup?
Yeah, so they're saying 4 to 6 weeks. Our analytics are showing about 5 weeks. This is not a very serious surgery. When they go in, they basically just remove the hook of the hamate. Within 5 weeks, he should be good to go without many lingering effects. As far as surgeries go, it's pretty simple. It's kind of scary because it's an injury to his hand, but it's his non-throwing hand, and it shouldn't really affect his power or anything when he comes back.
Mark Melanson starts the season on the DL, coming off of a big surgery. I've been kind of off this guy. I went heavy after the guy that replaced him, Hunter Strickland. So what is the prognosis on Mark Melanson?
Yeah, before the season, we were saying to stay away from him, and that was even before he had this latest flexor strain come up. He's just had so many issues with his elbow and forearm and just pitching arm in general. He was on the DL last May and June with tendonitis in his elbow and a pronator strain. Then we know he had that surgery in September on his forearm. All of these are related. They're slightly different locations, but it's not looking good for him. He's still high risk. He probably will remain a high injury risk for at least the next few months. An MRI just showed inflammation, so thankfully it doesn't sound like he's dealing with anything structural, but it's not good. I don't think we can expect many consistently good performances from him this year.
I'd like to keep it with another closer, if we may.
Yeah, do it.
Zach Britton.
Yeah.
Amazing pitcher. I mean, he had a sub-1 ERA a couple of years ago. It's the Achilles. It has nothing to do with his arm. It's you know, lower body. I see reports that he's running. Can you just give us an idea of how much longer he might be out? And then B, when he comes back, is this, I know we've talked about this before on the show, but is this something where he might overcompensate somewhere and hurt something else and we should be worried about him? I'm assuming he's probably high injury risk, but we shouldn't assume. Can you just give us a little color on Zach Britton, please?
Yeah. So right now he's still a high injury risk. We're showing a recovery time around 6 months. So that would mean a return in June, which is what the Orioles are saying right now that he's targeting. So far, everything's gone well. He's out of his walking boot. He started to ramp up his workouts. But throwing off of the mound is going to be a big test just because that places some added stress on the Achilles. But if he's out that full 6 months and slowly starts to pick up his throwing program again, he should be good to go. It's always possible he deals with some tendonitis and soreness along the way. So getting extra rest days, I think, is going to be important for him early on, not pitching back-to-back days. But by July, he really should be good and back to full strength.
Talking to Virginia Zakis, Inside Injuries. And I usually make this personal about my teams because that's why I make the list for players.
Yeah, I didn't let you do that.
Yeah, so I asked you earlier about the ladder to Shield, and you're saying, all right, surgery's not that big of a deal. He'll be back 5 weeks, give or take, which is cool. But before the season even started, I lost Salvador Perez to walking down or up the stairs or something of a lie of some sort. And it was very, very frustrating for me to feel like I got a steal in Sal Perez in the 14th round and then not even get him to go day one. When can I expect Salvador Perez to be back in my lineup?
Yeah. So we're showing a 6 week optimal recovery time. He suffered an MCL sprain. There's a partial tear to the ligament. But if you're going to hurt a ligament in your knee, the MCL is the one to hurt. Usually surgery is only necessary if it's a full thickness tear. And this is a partial tear. So the MCL heals pretty well on its own. If he wasn't a catcher, it could be closer to 4 or 5 weeks. But as a catcher, he needs at least 6 weeks to recover. But, you know, by the late next month, we think he should be back and might just need to limit his innings over the first month that he returns to the lineup.
Nelson Cruz, the boomstick, has been, you know, consistently awesome, but, you know, another year older. He had the hamstring. Now he suffered the ankle injury. What's the status on him?
Yeah, we actually got a lot of heat early in the preparing for drafts because we said to watch out for Nelson Cruz, and everyone said, oh, he played 155 games. He's totally fine. Sure enough, just a few days into the season, he's now out with an ankle sprain. We're only showing a 2 week optimal recovery time. X-rays were negative. There doesn't seem to be any serious ligament damage. So I don't think he'll be out long, but he is a high injury risk, as he was entering the season as well. And he could stay that way over the next month or so as he gets healthier.
I mean, it makes sense. He's 38 years old. So this is certainly something to be concerned about. And Virginia and the team at Inside Injuries were concerned about it for sure. Virginia Zakas, Inside Injuries. It has been a blast. I'm not even going to ask where Dr. A is. I assume he's on
his... He's in Europe with Florida.
He's in Europe with Florida. Exactly. Virginia, we appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, y'all.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Virginia.
There you go.
She's great.
She's awesome.
I like Inside Injuries a lot.
Of course.
I know it's we kind of have monologue, and they're good. People should sit down with it for 10 minutes and study it a little bit.
You learn a lot.
Yeah. So I want to do a deep dive on Preston Tucker.
Okay.
Because actually I made the YouTube
about Preston
thumbnail.
Tucker.
It was Preston Tucker because I had a great idea. It was a deep dive on Preston Tucker.
Yep.
So I found an image from underseas, like a submarine exploring things, and I cropped in Tucker.
This is what you did all morning.
No, it's going to be, look, I'm not going to brag. I figured out the magnetic lasso tool on Photoshop, so things are taking me a lot less time now. Preston Tucker is having himself a season. He's 27 years old, .429 batting average, 2 home runs, 1.264 OPS so far this season, over 22 plate appearances. He had 25, 24, and 24 home runs in his only 3 minor league baseball seasons with 500-plus plate appearances. .282 minor league baseball average over 535 games with an .844 OPS. Traded to the Braves in December for a player to be named later or cash. Preston Tucker is probably going to lose his job when Ronald Acuna gets called up probably a couple weeks.
But why is this
like 7, 8 days?
I'm just telling you people are saying downstairs.
Why can't Nick Markakis take a seat on the bench? If this kid really
That's what I said. Nick Markakis could be, jettisoned.
35, soon to be 35-year-old Nick Markakis.
Let's,
I know he got all that money.
Go ahead, man. Drop some knowledge on Preston Tucker and then Madika.
No, well, I mean, look, a couple of years ago, the Astros were pretty high on this kid.
Yep.
They got him for nothing. And look, just play it out. Look, if at some point he stops hitting, you can always go back to Nick Markakis. I mean, it's not like you're missing out. I know he hit the walk-off home run on opening day, whatever, Markakis. But, I mean, what is Nick Markakis? I mean, at least see what you have in this Tucker kid. Acuna better be up next Friday, though.
Jake, what are your thoughts on what are your thoughts on Preston Tucker?
I think it's a little bit lighter hitting Chris Davis with a K. So, you know, somebody that probably over a full season top out around 30 home runs versus 40. But, you know, that's somebody that's valuable. I'm with Matt. You know, that's the thing. This is why I went back and, you know, got... You know, fed up with it, but I'm fed up with Kapler because we can sit back and the Nimmo thing and this situation and the Phillies, and we can always say like what we think and play the armchair quarterback for baseball and say what we think is best, especially from a fantasy perspective. But sometimes that doesn't matter what the baseball team's going to do. I agree with Matt that sitting here, we would say Preston Tucker should be in the lineup, Acuna should be in the lineup, and Markakis should be the one coming off the bench. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. So if you have him, I would enjoy it. I don't know that necessarily anybody's going to give you trade value for him. And the best thing you can just hope for is that he doesn't lose his job when Acuna gets called up.
Well, there you go, Greg. Like Jake says, Preston Tucker's not the kind of, if you get him in a trade, you think the other person's trying to sell high and rip you off.
You want to hear this, though? Nick Markakis has 24 homers over his last, like, 2,000 plate appearances.
That's not a good rate. That's not a good rate.
And he went from 3 years ago batting .296 the season where he hit three homers to .269 to .275. I mean, not like you're missing out. It's not like he's like
right
Byron Buxton in right
field. He's an on base percentage machine, and major league teams like that.
Yeah, I hate
it. I mean, if you're going to bring up Brandon Nimmo as a great on base percentage guy, you can't discount Nick Markakis.
He was batting cleanup Markakis. Okay. He's not leading off on the team.
Maybe they see something that we don't. Greg, if you're a Preston Tucker owner, let's say you're, I don't know, National League only, you got Preston Tucker, starting him as one of your five outfielders. What's your level of worry?
When you either drafted Preston Tucker or picked him up before the season started, you expected nothing out of him, right? Like, right. You did not expect anything. So he's probably your fifth outfielder, realistically.
He might be your sixth or seventh.
He was a 50th round pick for me in one league.
So there you go. So anything you're getting right now of Preston Tucker as a sixth or a seventh or an eighth outfielder or whatever, fifth at best, is all, to me, it's a goodwill, right? Like, that's awesome. And if he goes away in a week or so, next Friday for Ronald Acuna, he goes away. Like, it stinks because he's been so good over the last week. But it is kind of what it is. It's what you expected. None of it's a surprise. The surprise is if all of a sudden he starts playing over Nick Markakis. Not that he shouldn't. Not that I disagree with these guys. But it's a lucky surprise for you if you own Preston Tucker and you get him for more than the next 8 days. To me, the better question is, people have waivers that run Sunday, obviously. Yep. Is Preston Tucker somebody that you even bother picking up? He's been really good, like you said, for the last week. Do you even bother picking him up?
You know what was great this week in the main I own with Vlad? He put Preston Tucker out there, and I was like, we got him in our lineup. So, hey, shout out to Vlad.
Vlad, RotoGut.
He is playing in Coors this weekend, but now watch, he's going to go to Coors and not get like one hit, strike out like seven times.
Jake, before we hit break, how much money do you put on Preston Tucker in a 15-team mixed league this weekend?
$3.
Three?
All right.
That's more than I thought he would say.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We got Preston Tucker out of the way. We're going to talk about Madison Bumgarner's trade value and the draft I did last night. We'll be right back.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Fantasy.
In Arizona, has a humidor had any noticeable effect?
No, as I was going to say, I don't think we have any idea how it's playing yet, because we don't know, one, if they're tinkering with it, and two, we've seen the home runs at the beginning. We're still going out like crazy, and then we've seen the reverse. I wouldn't say you can even put any weight into what the humidor is doing until the end of the month.
In terms of sample size, he's absolutely right. The way that the ball came off the bat and the way that it sounded, Puig and Chris Taylor, they squared up a few pitches of Zach Godley, and it seemed like it just died on the warning track.
Weekdays on FNTSY Radio and live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.
Someone has a crush on you.
Okay, who?
Let's make a game of it. One of these is a lie. He's 6'4". He collects stuffed exotic birds. He spends his free time trying to save lives.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Yeah! He's a registered bone marrow donor. Last week he got a call. He might be a match.
He's so cute. Oh, he is.
You could be a life-saving match for a patient with blood cancer. Learn more at dkms.org.
We're talking trash.
Sweet, sweet trash.
Make the argument that the Houston Rockets have no shot to represent the West in the NBA Finals.
Mike D'Antoni has never, ever won anything as a head coach. No Italian has been president of the United States. Italians are not made to go all the way and come out on top. They're more of the second-rate citizens in the United States.
Listen live on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Welcome back, everybody. Fantasy Sports Today. Matt Medica, Jake Seeley, Reggie Sussman. I'm Nando DeFino. Thank you all for joining us. We are touched and deeply moved that you're here. Greggy, we got some lineups. We got some interesting crap in the Rocky. Man. Ryan McMahon, huh? Why not just ruin his career, right?
Leading off of the Rockies is the $108 million man, Charlie Blackmon.
They could have gave Charlie Blackmon 3 years, and I would have been fine with this deal. Like, 3 years, $100 million for as good as he's been.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. Like I said, I thought last year was, like, the best it could get. It was four straight stud seasons, and I kind of knew I might be wrong, and I'm wrong already, I admit it.
You're wrong? Why? Oh, you mean that he's better than last season?
I didn't think he'd be a bust or anything like that. I just, pretty much it was like Hopper or Betts or Stanton I was taking and not Blackmon.
Gotcha.
I know Jake wants to chime in.
Yeah, so. Jake, we heard you kind of chirp for a second.
No, I wasn't chiming on that. I was laughing at Tiger Woods hitting into the trees.
I'm glad you're fully invested in this episode of FST.
No, I'm annoyed the hell. Like, I have nothing left to say. The Ryan McMahon thing is stupid as hell. I said at the beginning of the season, and if you're not going to start him every single day, just send him down to Triple or Double A where he can start every single day. If you have him on the major league rosters, you go start Pat Valaika, and you're an idiot. I hate this team already.
I get a lot of notes about, like, people asking about Jake. Jake, what kind of breakfast cereal do you eat?
I don't eat cereal.
Does that surprise you?
Pop-Tarts?
I was going to go Pop-Tarts.
No, I don't eat Pop-Tarts either. But that's just
the only
sugar
Pop-Tart
parts.
That should be toasted is the non-frosted
Pop-Tarts. We'll get into that some other time because you're way wrong. Jake, bananas, fruits? What do you? Is there a farmer's market by you?
No, I don't eat any of that stuff for breakfast. Jake. I eat eggs. Eggs and bacon or a protein bar.
Interesting.
How do you like your eggs?
Yeah. Scrambled.
Interesting. I hate scrambled eggs.
It's not really interesting.
I don't think it is. I mean, it's so much easier just to flip a couple, like, to make them sunny side up than it is to go through the work of scrambling them and everything.
No, because I like to often eat as a sandwich. Sunny side up and a sandwich is god-awful.
Greg, anything to say about Jake's breakfast? Or you want to keep with the lineups?
I should do with the lineups.
Let's go with the lineups then.
What do you eat for breakfast, Sussman?
I don't really eat breakfast. When I'm here, I have like a breakfast bar.
Right. All those PB&J bars, man. Those are good from Trader Joe's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the PB&J bars from Trader Joe's.
Life. That's what you eat.
I do. Life cereal is fantastic.
Oh, I wasn't going with the cereal. I was giving you life.
I appreciate that, but I also like life cereal.
Not Greggy, what I would likes it. Okay, back to the Rockies.
Charlie
lineup.
Blackmon leads
I don't think
off.
I've met anybody who says that?
Oh, whatever. You haven't met anyone great. DJ LeMahieu batting second. Nolan Arenado third. Ian Desmond, who's having a really nice start to the season, batting cleanup. Fifth is Trevor Story. Chris Iannetta, the catcher, is sixth. Gerardo Parra batting seventh, playing right today. Pat Valaika batting eighth, and Tyler Anderson batting ninth.
I just don't know why wouldn't you send Ryan McMahon down?
What the hell was that?
What's the problem, Jake?
Leishman almost hauled out from his second shot.
All right, let's just disconnect Jake. He's obviously not part of the show anymore. He doesn't want to be with us. We get it. It's the first day.
I'm sorry I'm paying attention to the Masters like everybody else and doing the show at the same time.
Who cares about the Masters?
What do you mean like everybody else? We are hosting a radio program talking about baseball.
And I'm still, I'm doing the show like everybody else.
But you're screaming!
I think I'm going to regret not playing that Italian guy, but we'll see.
Francesco Molinari.
Yeah.
Would you play? Did you put a lineup in?
Yeah, I did put a lineup in. Yeah.
Did you draft
And him? I have Leishman because he's from Virginia Beach.
I basically faded everybody. I figured, you know, I just want to win whatever, $500,000 or whatever.
What good player is doing terribly, Jake?
Tiger Woods is plus one.
That's not terrible.
I've been looking. I've just been following. I got Amen Corner because it's in 4K, which, by the way, makes it look like you're on the other side of the camera. It's ridiculous.
Jason Day plus four. That's not good.
Yeah, Jason Day is plus four. I just scrolled to the bottom. Yeah. Jason Day is plus four. No, I don't know anybody else who really had Brendan Steele. Maybe
son
some
of
people
a
have.
B.
What?
Cantlay plus three. His piece of crap. I trusted you,
people. Would you like to hear my lineup?
Paul Casey's also plus three. What a disaster.
You know what? I love putting together golf lineups. I hate hearing about golf. It's so strange.
Pat Perez is at plus three.
Oh, I got
Pat
Perez.
Do you want to hear my lineup?
No, this was inside information. I had the interview on this network. I played it. I interviewed Leishman at David Wright's thing, and he said he was ready for the Masters and U.S. Open, which is his two favorite courses this year.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
See?
Should have picked Leishman.
Oh, should have picked Leishman. Thanks for letting us know, Jake.
Steak.
All right, go ahead,
I did
Matt.
Let you know. I did let everybody know, and he's in first place.
Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson, Tommy Fleetwood. How do you say this guy's name? Rafael Cabrera Bello.
I got him in my A. That's a Cam Stewart, Dennis Esser special.
You got to go with a name like that.
So I noticed all the good players, like the big players, I'm really. Haven't teed off yet. Dustin Johnson still to go. Rory McIlroy still to go. Justin Spieth still to go. Justin Thomas already has, but a lot of big names. John Rahm is not teed off. Adam Scott.
What about Gary Woodland?
He's on the first hole.
You guys, I'll give you 30 more seconds of golf, and then we're gonna. I don't care how many sounds Jake makes. Go ahead. You guys have 30 more seconds of golf.
I'm good.
Oh, I hope Tiger misses the cut.
Oh, I forgot. I picked Tyler Hatton. How's he doing?
All right, well, let us know.
Right.
It's Tyrell with two R's and two L's.
He the first hole.
Madison Bumgarner's most traded player in CBSSports.com leagues.
So interesting.
Right?
So interesting because it's so hard to figure out that value.
Well, I guess we had Virginia. We could have asked her.
Probably.
Yeah, instead of Brandon Finnegan, but, you know.
We were too busy eating Cadre Pepe fries, is what the problem was.
That was our problem. And it turns out, so I got home, and I'm like, why do I have a buzz? Like, I had two glasses of wine.
You had three.
Well, I had five, really, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah!
Because there's like a flight of wines, and it's like 2 ounces of wine, and I think the lady just poured those glasses pretty strong.
Because she felt bad about making the Negroni.
Yeah, she didn't know how to make a Negroni. Or she couldn't find the gin.
Whatever.
Anyway, so yeah, I did this draft last night with a healthy
Significant
buzz.
Significant buzz.
Yeah, I would say. And plus, all we had to eat were like some fries.
They're good fries, though. You had calamari.
I picked at the calamari.
Yeah.
he dabbled.
Anyway, I want to know who you guys would offer up in a trade for Madison Bumgarner. Think about your teams. Like, would you give up Ian Happ, Matt Medica?
If I was light on pitching, I would.
Greggy, would you give up Jake Arrieta for a shot at Madison Bumgarner? You know, like 4 months of Madison Bumgarner.
Right. I think it's a really good question. I think I would, yes.
Yeah?
Yes. You would not, Matt.
I would not.
Okay, and you don't like Arrieta, so that's really interesting.
I don't like Arrieta. He's still in my, I think I put him at like 35 or something, but I'd rather ride with the 4 months. It's not an arm injury again, once again, you know.
All right, I would do it. I would take Palme.
Jake, what if you were to give up Michael Conforto and Scott Kingery in like a Tal War style 15-team 5x5?
That's why you got to give me the super unbalanced one, because now you're going to just get ticked off when I give you my answer.
Is that super unbalanced? I don't know.
No, you gave me hitters for pitchers, so I'm going to tell you it's dependent on what you need.
All right, so say you needed a pitcher. That's why you're going after Madison Bumgarner.
I think that's too much to give up still.
Really? Happ and Kingery is too much to give up?
You said Conforto and Kingery.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, Conforto and Kingery. Would it change it if it was Happ? Yeah.
No, still too much.
What if it was Jay Happ and Ian Happ for Madison Bumgarner?
Still too much.
Yeah, wow, Madison Bumgarner?
Well,
who's a stud?
But you're getting 4 months of him.
All right, but would you make this trade in June?
Come June.
Yeah, but you're going to have to pay more in June. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If this is like making that trade in June, you just got to wait a little while.
If you're holding Madison Bumgarner,
yeah,
and say like June 1st, he's going to be active. The guy that comes in on like May 28th trying to make that deal.
0% chance anyone's trading Madison Bumgarner.
I just held him for the last 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're trying to lowball me on it.
So many people have done that to me in Tal Wars. Like I know I come across sometimes as a jokey, happy-go-lucky, devil-may-care, but I'm not an idiot. You know, like, don't come at me on May 28th. When you know Madison Bumgarner's, and he's been sitting on my DL or my bench forever. Like, okay, yeah, let me give him to you at a discount after I just sat through 2 months of crap.
That actually happened to me last year, Nando. I traded for Madison Bumgarner early on like this, and because I was deep at pitching and could sit on him for the entire year. And then right before he came back, somebody tried to come for him. It's like, I didn't even get to use him yet.
Who was that person? Give us the name.
No.
Yeah.
We'll assume it was Howard Bender.
Well, yeah, let's just... And Jake, you ended up winning the league. So you see, you sat on that guy forever. He came back and you won.
And he didn't even do that well when he came back.
See? Anyway. Sonny Gray for Madison Bumgarner right now, Greg.
No.
I'm not a Sonny Gray guy.
So you do it?
You do it. So you would do it.
I want Madison Bumgarner.
That's the trade.
Oh, right, right. That's what we're saying. Yeah.
I said before is I would take Bumgarner over Arrieta is what I was saying.
Oh, so you would take Bumgarner.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought you were gonna trade to get Arrieta.
No, I wanted Bumgarner. This time I'll keep Sonny Gray.
All right. Let's take a look at this draft I did last night. And I think there was a lot of interesting things happening. There were a lot of interesting things happening because
you were getting loaded at the time.
Well, the season started. And first of all, by the way, if you're watching us on Twitch, YouTube, anything like that, we're out of here. So you got to listen to the podcast. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever, whatever.
Tell them what's going on next.
Fantasy Best Friends Forever coming up at 2 o'clock.
Thank you.
And then come back to the radio side. I'll be with Al
Fetterack.
At 3.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
The Fantasy Baseball Hour.
Thursdays with Nando.
Nando Thursdays.
Tuesdays with
Madika Wednesdays. Oh, yeah, Tuesdays.
Like Tuesdays with
2-1 Nationals.
What?
2-1 Nationals.
No.
Oh, boy. What happened, Jacob? My score hasn't updated yet. Two-out hit by Anthony Rendon?
To the corner, and Adam Eaton scored hauling ass around the terrible throw. Terrible relay throw. They could have had him. He was out by like 10 feet if they would have got the throw online.
Wait, if Adam... Okay, gotcha. How's Michael Taylor doing in that 9-hole?
I don't know because it's Adam Eaton and Anthony Rendon right now.
I mean, you can look at a box score.
He's over one.
All right. So here's what I did last night. I had the number one overall pick. It was a 12-team draft. It was OBP and OPS, no batting average, and quality starts at K per nine. And I can't remember what is not on the pitching side. Took Mike Trout, number one overall. I had to do that. Came back and banged out Chris Sale and Noah Syndergaard. I could have gone Strasburg. Did I make the right choice, Matt?
I have him. I do have Strasburg 5, Syndergaard 6.
All right.
So, but it's here or there. I mean,
Sale was still there at 24 in a K per nine league. Quality starts. Wins.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Though Chris Sale didn't get the quality start the other night. Everybody was like, oh, Chris Sale's got no wins. I'm like, he pitched 5 innings and left in a 1-1 game.
Yeah. All right. Came back around, waited 20 minutes. I grabbed Yu Darvish. So I started Sale, Syndergaard, and Darvish. And I got my boy Tommy Pham.
Sale, Syndergaard, and Darvish. I'm not the biggest Darvish guy this year. I do have him inside my top 20. For some reason, I've always liked Darvish. For some reason, he's not a guy that ended up on any of my teams.
Yeah, but if you got him as your number 3 starter, you're dominating the rest of the pitchers.
Not arguing that fact.
So that's what I said. I'm like, oh, I can lay off for a little while. But I wasn't crazy about what was coming up. At the 72-70.
Hey, Nando, you know what that is, right?
What?
Since he's not here. That's RVP 101 for Joe Pizzabia.
I miss Joe Pizza. I wrote a blurb for his book back when I was at CVS. Anyway, went to Gene Segura and DJ LeMahieu. Greggy? I mean, it's just this. At that point, I'm like, let me just fill out my middle infield.
Listen, I like it. I like Gene Segura.
You got both of them?
Yeah.
I like Gene Segura a lot. We drafted him a bunch, or we wanted to draft him a bunch. DJ LeMahieu is somebody we took pretty late, and we were encouraged. Like, listen, let's just get a piece of Colorado. Batting second right now. He's also a nice little start. He doesn't exactly hit bombs by any means. Being a guy that hits over 300, plays in Colorado, I like it.
Jake, I'm in a lot of, well, not anymore. I've kind of gotten rid of most of them, but OBP leagues, most notably Tout Wars, and I suck at it.
Tout Wars.
Tout Wars, because I don't go for the OBP. And this, I went the entire different strategy, and does that kind of ruin it for you? Like it did for me? Like it's not, I'm passing up my players, like the guys I like, because I know I got to get on base percentage.
I mean, that's part of the problem playing a league like that, though.
I guess. I guess
that's what happens.
I like players who don't add up.
Well, if you play in a league without strikeouts, you know, you got to change the values.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I agree. I would never play in a league without strikeouts.
So here's the weird. At 97, Carlos Martinez was still available. So I snatched up Carlos Martinez, and I got Alex Wood.
It's awesome.
So now my staff is Sale, Syndergaard, Darvish, Alex Wood, and Carlos Martinez.
Well, after getting Martinez, what bat did you sacrifice, or maybe a closer could you have used at that point?
Well, here's the thing. It's K per nine. Saves is one of the 6 categories.
It's so still a category.
ERA, whip. I figured I got these studs, right? I can just punt saves every week. It's a 12 category head-to-head.
Head-to-head, okay.
So I go 11-1, right? Like, right off the bat, I can only win 11 categories, which I'll take. Like, I'll give up saves. But so, anyway, I was thinking the same thing. And at 192, 193, I got Boxberger and Neris. So I got the 2 RP slots filled. And then I went a little nuts. I got A.J. Minter. I got Tommy Conley.
A.J. Minter, who's yet to have a strikeout in the season. What's up with that?
I don't get it, man. A.J. Minter is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't even have, like, you know.
Tommy Conley and Michael Givens. And, Jakey, with my last pick of the draft, I took Jonathan Lucroy as my starting catcher.
I love it. Last pick of the draft.
Well, it's a one-catcher league.
It's a one-catcher league.
Yeah.
12 teams.
Oh, interesting fact, interesting note. Ian Happ homered on the first pitch of the season.
I saw this tweet yesterday.
Then has gone out to strike out 10 times in his next 15 at-bats.
That's, he felt it, right?
Maybe swinging a little...
too hard.
Yeah. Greggy, we got any lineup updates?
Yeah, well, who would you like?
Well, we got the Tigers and we got the White Sox. How about the Texas Rangers? Where's Joey Gallo? Number two?
So for the Texas Rangers, Joey Gallo's batting number two.
All right.
Right behind Shin-Soo Choo, who's DHing today. Batting third is Elvis Andrews. Batting fourth, Adrian Beltre. Fifth is Nomar Mazara. Sixth, Arunet Odor. Seventh, Ryan Rua. Drew Robinson playing center field. Batting eighth, Juan Centeno.
All right, so once again, no Gerson Profar.
Played yesterday.
Well, they said he's only going to play the infield this year. They're not putting him in the outfield. So that makes me say, I think Frank Stanfield said Cinco de Mayo. Willie Calhoun, over under, before, after.
It's been the day.
After.
Cinco de Mayo.
No. I got to go after. I don't think Willie Calhoun's being held down. I think they want him down to groom him a little more.
This this A's lineup's interesting.
Oh, Steve, let me guess. Chad Pinder?
Yes.
Batting second. What do you think of this Chad Pinder
batting
thing?
Second.
That's the OBP revolution.
Ridiculous.
I thought he was intriguing middle infielder. You can get him a shortstop.
Is he intriguing? Like, it's batting second, that's a different level. It's not just intriguing anymore.
No,
right?
It's more for the fact that being a starting shortstop and getting some decent counting stats over the course of an entire season. He's a middle infielder in a 12-team league. It's definitely a 15-team league, but that's all. That was the only intriguing part of it.
Jake, is Stephen Piscotty droppable?
Not yet.
Batting eighth today for the A's.
I love Stephen Piscotty.
No. Same.
I got him on my team last night. Oh, no, I didn't.
You know what? He needs to get pissed off and write a whole article telling people to F off, and he'll play better.
Tommy Pham is the 12th most traded player in CBS leagues. I think based on that Sports Illustrated article, people are going out to get him.
I think that's probably what it is.
Did you read the article, Matt? You weren't here yesterday. Did you guys end up reading it? Jake, did you read it?
I told you I didn't need to because you read 90% of it.
It's true. You did read
Tommy Pham is the most amazing player in the world.
Just watch yesterday's episode.
Yeah, you didn't watch yesterday?
I had to watch Facebook, you know, what the hell?
That hurts.
It does hurt.
Thank you all for joining us here at FST. Coming up in the next few seconds, Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Mike Florio is still on vacation for another couple days. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow. We're opening cards tomorrow. Red Felt Break's going to be here. Stay tuned.
Does your fantasy...